Hi, friends. On today's episode, we talk about addiction and eating disorders. So if that's too heavy for you right now, you might want to skip this episode. Take care of yourself, friends. Welcome to Pep and Ched with Megan Nash, a co-production with the Creative City Center in Regina, Saskatchewan. My name is Megan Nash, and this is the podcast where I call up friends and we talk about touring, what we miss, what we would like to do better when we are allowed to tour again. And of course, we talk a lot about food. We talk a lot about snacks. And I try my best to string together full sentences, but let me tell you, folks, it's hard. It's hard when you have a brain like mine and you get as excited as I do to call up old friends and to talk about touring, something that, you know, we all are missing so much. I feel like a puppy calling up my old pals. I feel like a puppy. And have you ever heard a puppy say a full sentence? Today's guest is Forrest Eagle Speaker from the North Sound. Him and his partner Nevada, they make up the North Sound, and they released a big, beautiful record on October 23rd in 2020. It's called As the Stars Explode, and it's excellent. You should all go get a copy of it. Forrest and I, we talk about being stuck in a stairwell with a harp. We find out what his favorite touring snack is, and let me tell you, I was very, very happy to hear this. And also, the podcast starts off with a big How I Met Your Mother spoiler. Okay, so if you are like me and you haven't watched it in a very, very long time and you just want to know who the mother is, well, you're gonna find out. Today our guest is Forrest Eagle Speaker from the North Sound.
It's Robin.
It is Robin.
No, it's not. I'm just kidding. It's not Robin.
you're gonna make me watch, like, I'm gonna have to watch it, aren't I?
You're probably gonna have to watch it, because I don't even know, like, the case of the actress that plays her, like, her name is just the mother, like, she doesn't have like a character name, but she's played by this actress, Kristen Milioti or something.
Okay.
I've seen her in other stuff, and she's super cool. I like her. So, like, when she was the mother, I remember, like, the first time I was like, yeah, it's her. That's amazing.
Oh, cool.
This couldn't have gone any better. But, yeah. If you don't know who she is, you should just Google her, because she's, like, yeah, she's cool.
Okay. I want to know, how are you doing through all this? Like, I feel like from an outsider's perspective, sorry, I ask you a question, then I just, like, immediately cut you off. Sorry.
Okay.
From an outside perspective, it looks like you have so much going on. Your career is taking off. You're like, well, it already was taking off, but like your career, you've had some major milestones happen. Your personal life, you've had some major milestones happen. Like you've had, it's kind of all happening at once.
Yeah.
How are you doing?
You know, I'm doing pretty well. Like I really am. I am just, you know, in a space where I am learning to take everything in a good way. You know, I can be very, I was actually talking about this last night with my sister-in-law and her boyfriend, and talking about how, like, as a person, I am inherently negative, right? Like that's how I am baseline. But I don't necessarily have to stay there, but it takes practice, right? Like it takes practice for me to be positive, and it takes practice for me to accept positivity. And so one thing that everything that's been going on has really taught me is that I lack humility in a sense where I don't accept the positive.
Okay.
And so for me, because it's like, I'm understanding and learning that, like, in order to actually have true humility, I need to be able to accept the negative parts, like defects of who I am as an individual. But I also need to accept those positive things and those attributes and those good things about myself as a human, and not be strayed either way into ego or like self-conscious sort of mind. So right now where I really am at is just like, I'm in a good space with everything, because I'm just allowing myself to really just be present for all of it and really find gratitude in it. And like, yeah, practicing humility where I'm like, you know, it's so easy for me a lot of times to, someone will be like, oh, great job, I love your record. And I'm like, ah, yeah, whatever, man. You know, and just like sort of slough it off. But realizing that that's not really doing any service for that person who is expressing, you know, who's expressing a way that they feel, and I don't want to push that down, right?
Yeah, no, that's such a good point. It's almost in a way, it could be, not saying it is every time, but it could almost act as like an insult to them, right? It's like, oh, you don't think, like, if someone says, oh, I love your record, and you go, oh, well, whatever. It's like, well, no, I love it. I have good taste. Like, do you not think I have good taste? You know what I mean? Like, you almost could be putting down their taste in a way or something. I don't know. Does that make sense? Do you know what I mean? I don't know.
No, yeah, absolutely. That's like a thing. Or also, too, it could put them in like an uncomfortable position where, yeah, you know, it was like, maybe it wasn't exactly easy for them to open up to you
good point.
And to tell you, and then, you know, you sort of just like shut them down, you know what I mean? And it's like, I don't want to be that guy where it's like, I just can't take a compliment, you know?
Yeah, totally. No, I think you brought up some really good points and really interesting points, like the idea of like, yeah, of actually having humility and having to accept that, yeah, the good and the bad that's an interesting way of expressing that. I've never heard that before. And I really appreciate that. So you've had probably a lot of folks reaching out to you and saying and giving you compliments, and because you just released a big beautiful record on New Music. On New Sun Music label out of Nashville. And it's your record's a Scorpio baby. I always notice that. Like, I'm always curious, you know, when folks release music. And are there any things that that you take into account when you're releasing music, when you're planning your releases?
So I kind of have this trend or this theme with releasing music that I've been following since my first record came and release things. And obviously it's not a perfect system. Like, I've released music outside of this sort of idea, but for the most part, I try and release things in October and in January.
Okay.
Yeah, and those are my times to release.
And is there any particular reason why, or is that just like, that's just?
So January for me is usually is a really big month, because that's sort of the month that's the month of my dad's birthday. And it was the time that I released my first record. I released my first record, The Valley, on January 7th, which is my dad's birthday.
Aww.
And so it always sort of was just like a thing where, you know, I liked that because it started rewriting what that day was for me. And it wasn't like this sad day where I wasn't able to celebrate my dad's birthday. It was sort of like a day where it was like, I turned something negative into something positive, and now I have all these great memories on that day.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And then in October, I'm curious too, why you choose that month, because a lot of folks might lean towards, like, I just released music in October too. Like, I'm here for it. I like to look at the moon phases too, but like, with October, you know, it's not usually, and I want to know your thoughts on this too. Like, usually you would be out on the road promoting these releases, and releasing in the fall is something that I've also done. But a lot of folks release in the spring because then we're going to go out on the road and you're going to have festival season and you're going to be touring. It's easier to tour in Canada. So why is October something too that you gravitate towards as a release month?
So yeah, October is sort of the month that I release things because, I sobered up in October. My sobriety date is October 5th. And so October is usually a really big month for me, October, because that's like when I'm celebrating, you know, another year of sobriety. And so, you know, there's lots of things that usually go on around that time. And, I made my first release in October, which was my SKAB EP, which came out October 10th, 2017. And I released it then because I just remember I was really grappling with some really big loss in my life. I was, like I mentioned, my dad and my grandma, they both passed away in the same year. And so I remember October, I released this EP, and it was sort of like the EP that I released was stepping away from old sounds that I was creating and stepping into new sounds that I was creating. And so releasing stuff in October and having my sobriety date in October and sort of having that mindset, October for me is very much a month of new.
Right. Right.
And that's when Between the Ditches was released. And it's sort of like, it's sort of funny because Between the Ditches was like the first time I ever released a song where I just like, I just didn't care. Like, I didn't care what anybody thought. I didn't care what it did. I just like, I need to write a song. It needs to sound like what I wanted to sound like. And I don't care what anybody thinks or says. And then it became what it is. And so October sort of like, it's like that thing for me where it's like, I just feel a lot of energy from October.
You know, it's, I just want to take a moment just to thank you for being so open with like, you seem to be a very open person. Like, just to give the listener a bit of backstory, we met last August at the Regina Folk Fest. We did a workshop together, and since then, you know, we like connected on social media, and I've been following your career, but not only your career, your life, because you do seem to be like very open on social media, and just like having this conversation too. Like, thank you for being so open with myself, and then soon, you know, with the listener too. And it seems like everything you do is just like so much intention, and like, you're not just like one of those people, you're not throwing out a single and being like, there it is, just for the sake of it. Like, everything has so much purpose, it seems. And that's just like, it's just very cool. And yeah, I just appreciate how, I know, like, genuine and authentic are such, like, they're such buzzwords now, you know what I mean? It seems, and so I'm not trying to use them in a light way, but it seems like I just feel like who you are putting into everything you do, and you're the real deal. You know what I mean?
Oh, thanks. I appreciate that. It's important to me, you know. I think that, you know, I the way that I sort of look at it is that for me, there really is only one of two types of people that I can be. And one is I create a persona. I create an entire world of things. Sort of think about like Lady Gaga or something, right? Lives behind this persona, and that's where everything lies, is in that persona. Or the other side of it is I just move forward and be completely honest and real and open every step of the way. And for me, it's like that being honest and real and just, yeah, genuine or authentic every step of the way is kind of, you know, it's kind of the only way that I really know how to be these days. 'Cause I wasn't always like that, right? I wanted to be like that for a long time, but I had a lot of trauma, and I had a lot of reasons to want to be somebody else. And so I lived a different life and hid behind a persona for a really long time. And now, since I've been able to deal with some of that stuff and still actively deal with some of that stuff and move forward into being comfortable with who I am, I find it to be just very freeing to not have to, try to be something else. The only thing I try to be is just, you know, myself and real.
Right. Yeah. I was just talking to a friend about this, that like, going up on stage and being open and writing personal songs. Like, I feel I feel like, because I've been thinking about this like through a marketing lens too, and I've been thinking a lot about banter. I've been just thinking a lot about shows. Like I miss live shows so yeah. much, and I feel like something that always I don't know, stressed me out, if that's the right way of saying it, but made me nervous maybe. And actually it's something, this is a part of why the podcast itself makes me nervous, is I feel like the banter in between songs I am giving to that audience. And the idea of like now with more recorded shows and online shows where it's not as tailored to each audience, it almost like, not saying it changes a lot, but it almost stresses me out a little bit having those snippets out there on the internet. Whereas I feel like, because I don't know, like sometimes with banter, like I feel like I come off as very open, mm-hmm. but it's still, I'm still keeping what I have to for myself. And I've already processed, like it's easy to share that stuff when you've processed it yourself. Like if I'm working, like my divorce, for example, like when I was going through that, there was no way I was going to say divorce on stage. Like, you right. know, like not in the, like I didn't tell anybody, and like I had to work through that. But then so many people are like, oh, you're so open. It's like, well, eventually. And like, I'll keep what I have to for myself, but it's just, I don't know how you feel about like, cause you perform, as the North Sound, but I feel like you still have this like, big like singer songwriter, vibe, which I mean in like a really good way. Like I love the brand, or like the genre, if you will, of singer songwriter. Cause I feel like it just means, well, it's not really a genre, and I think maybe that's why I like it so much. But it's just like, I feel like when I'm listening to your songs, like these are your experiences. Whereas sometimes with I was actually talking to my partner about this the other day. We're talking about concept records, and I thought maybe a concept record would be easier to write with a band. I don't know. These are not solid opinions I have. These are just things I'm thinking of right now. But like, you're already putting yourself out there so much with your songs, and then to do it again with your banter and with your social media and with your messaging, how do you find that balance? I guess I'm asking for advice, maybe. I don't know. Sorry, I'm really rambling on. I'm rambling on, Forrest. Thanks for coming along on this journey with me. Oh my goodness.
Oh, it's great. It's great. Your rambling is so deep and it's so intense, and I appreciate it a lot. I really do.
Oh, dear. Thanks.
It's just nice to hear human beings. Yeah. You know, just stuck inside my house. Yeah. But you know, I think for me, like the major thing is that, you know, I don't share everything.
Yeah.
And not because I'm afraid of sharing everything, like, because to me, there's a difference between having a one-on-one conversation with somebody and then being on stage and having this banter going, you know. Mm-hmm. And so for me, I don't share absolutely everything. One, because I do need to keep some things for myself.
Totally.
Yeah. Because I still need to be able to get off stage, get in my car, go home, and then be able to still feel like myself.
Right.
You know, and sometimes, like, I don't know if you have this experience, but there are some times where I have, especially when I'm playing a big string of shows and, you know, I'm on the road, it can be really difficult when I'm out there to separate Forrest, the dad, the partner, the son, the brother, from Forrest, the singer of the North Sound, the songwriter. Mm-hmm. It can be really difficult to do that.
Mm-hmm.
And so there are certain things that I do, I keep to myself so that I can go home and have them. But also too, like, I recognize that there's a lot of things that have happened to me and stuff that I deal with, that I'm growing through, and that I'm, you know, that have kept me held down, that are not just like, it's not stand on stage and talk about stuff.
Right.
You know? And so I think like, and it's like almost like a courtesy for people that come to the show, because one of the things that I've recognized and that I've learned about myself is that when people come and they listen to my songs, and whether it's like just me standing on stage as the North Sound, or it's my whole band standing on stage as the North Sound, one thing that I have learned is that when people come to my shows, they go through a process.
Okay.
Right? They go through a process in their minds because of the heavy content that I sing about.
Right, right, okay.
Right, and there's a lot of self-reflection, and there's a lot of like learning that goes on for some people, and then for other people, there's a lot of relation. They're listening to what I'm saying, and they're like, "I've been through that. I know what that feels like." And so, I'm also mindful of the fact that I am in that position, and that is something that's present at my shows. So I feel like there's a responsibility to be courteous to the people that come, to my supporters, and to not harm them and to not put them in a place where they leave feeling worse or bad or triggered or anything like that. So I try and keep it in a space where I'm being, you know, mindful of them and mindful of what's happening and what I'm doing.
Right. Wow. Like that takes a tremendous amount of self-awareness, I think, you know, I think I really appreciate you bringing up these points, because I feel like a lot of times in the singer-songwriter world, and just in the world of creating art, we don't always talk about that responsibility. That's really powerful. So during this time with not being able to play these shows that we're talking about, personally, for me, I've used this as a chance to reflect on how I toured before and how what was sustainable and what wasn't sustainable with the way that I used to do things. And I miss touring so much. I've talked to some people that are like, nope, I don't miss it. Like, this is like I don't miss it. I'll be very selective about what shows that I do when we can return. But for me, I really do miss it. Like, have you been reflecting on your live show experiences during this time? And how do you feel? Okay, this is actually, maybe this is a really big question. How do you feel about the online platforms now, the live streams and everything that so many people, especially back in April of 2020, just really went for?
The online things are weird. I like.
Oh, you heard it here, folks. You heard it here. No, I feel that. Yeah.
It's so weird. Like me personally, as a performer, like I get so much out of being on stage with people.
Yes.
And then getting off stage and going and meeting new people and standing out in front of the venue, having a cigarette with new friends and just like, and then meeting new, you know, playing with new bands that I don't know and getting, you know, just like, I get so much out of being in the community.
Totally.
And I feed off of that. Like I really do. When I'm on, when I'm performing, it's almost in a big way. And now like this is going to follow up right after I said, like, I need to be courteous to my fans and mindful. I a lot of times I feel like I'm in like a back and forth, almost sort of competition with the audience as well, where I'm like, I'm going to give you something and then you're going to give it back to me. And then I'm going to give it. And we're just going to keep going back and forth, and we're going to see where this ends up. And we're going to see who, you know, who can feed each other more energy.
Yeah.
You know,
I have goosebumps right now. You're making me miss it even more. Like, but that reciprocal energy is so much fun. And like when you have an audience that is on the same wavelength as you and you're going somewhere, and you don't even really know where you're going, but you're just all in it together. That is why at the end of the day, I still believe that as humans, we have more in common than we do, than we have things that divide us. And there's so much good in the world because of those kinds of experiences, you know?
Yeah, absolutely. And like the online shows, they don't have that.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
I mean, depending on where you're at, there are like some versions of it, I suppose, like people, you know, sending messages and stuff while you're performing and commenting on your video or whatever. And I mean, like, that's cool. I enjoy that. But I miss that in-person energy. And, you know, I do really miss being on stage. But more so than that, I was actually talking about this not too long ago with Dana, with your buddy Dana.
Oh my goodness, I was on the phone with him right before we got on this call, and I'm supposed to say hello to you from him. Thank you so much for reminding me. And that's awesome. The Saskatchewan music industry, folks. You heard it here. Tight-knit music community. Sorry to interrupt you. Yes, Dana.
Dana, yeah, it's funny. You were probably on the phone with him while he was sending me a message on Instagram, because I woke up to a message on Instagram from him. But so we were talking about this not too long ago, and I miss touring and I miss being on stage, and you know, I miss all of that. I miss traveling. But the thing that I miss most is being around people that I know I'm only going to see at a certain place at a certain time of the year.
Right. Yeah.
You know, and it's like you get used to seeing people at certain showcases.
Yes.
Or you get used to seeing people that you, I don't know, that it's like maybe there's a band in like, say, Edmonton, that's like every time you go through Edmonton, this band supports you and plays with you. And that's your night to hang out with them. You know what I mean? Like
100%. Yeah.
And that's the thing that I definitely miss the most right now is just that. Yeah, that time of, because it's so exciting, right? And depending on where you are too, that can add to it. Like I remember when I was down in New Orleans in January for Folk Alliance, there were lots of friends from Saskatchewan that were out there, which was really cool. But I also had a lot of friends that were there from Toronto, and I had friends that were there from Calgary that I grew up with. And just like seeing them in New Orleans and being able to like hang out with them and catch up with them in like this place, like the fact that we were in New Orleans added so much to the experience that we had and shared together. And I just like, I really, really miss that aspect of it.
Oh, hello there. You are listening to Pep and Ched with Megan Nash. And my guest today is Forrest Eagle Speaker from the North Sound. Totally. Oh my goodness. I can so relate to that. And that is a huge part of what I miss too. Like I woke up yesterday morning and I thought to myself, I was just like, yeah, just slowly waking up. And I immediately thought of like of January as well. Cause I flew to London for a 30 minute set with my band. At the time I thought,
that sounds
what are
so
we doing?
Glamorous, Megan.
It was ridiculous though. We went to the other side of the world for a 30 minute set. Like it was like one of those things. It's like, why are we doing this? I didn't even mean for it to sound glamorous. I guess it does. Maybe really I should just like,
I love
know,
it.
Tone?
It's like just like the most, like the best humble brag ever. It's like, flew across the pond for half an hour. You know, like that's amazing.
I didn't mean it like that at all. I meant it almost kind of like in a self-deprecating way. Like I can't believe we went that far for one
yeah,
show.
Yeah,
you know what
yeah.
I mean? Like I was like, you know, but yeah, I guess I just need to change my tone. Your tone is everything. We flew across the, no, I don't know. I don't even know how to say it confidently, but it was a really great festival. Like I'm not throwing any bad energy towards the festival at all. It's just like in an ideal world, we would have had, right. You know, a few more shows, but anyways, so at the time I was like, I can't believe we're doing this. Like this isn't sustainable. But then I look at it and like those memories, I'm so grateful we did that. And like, just to hear you talk about going to New Orleans in January, 2020, like just before the world, you know, went into this chaos, you know, like a lot of people, I guess I shouldn't phrase it like that. Like a lot of people in the world were already suffering because of the pandemic. Well, it wasn't declared yet a global pandemic. So we were just like, you know, you went to, can you imagine? Folk Alliance of all places. Like I've been to Folk Alliance a couple times, and like you want to talk about,
man,
people crammed into little spaces, you know.
That would be like that would be like a buffet for the virus.
Oh my goodness, totally. For the listeners that haven't been to, if you haven't been to Folk Alliance, there are showcases that happen in hotel rooms. So it's like you have 20, 30, 40 people inside these little hotel rooms. I don't mean like the banquet hall at the hotel. I mean like the actual hotel rooms. And then you're all in the hallways. And I don't know if you thought this, and maybe this is just me and my own anxiety, but I always think, how, like, what if there's a fire? Yeah. You know what I mean? It's so, like, what's the fire code? I'm like, maybe that's like the nerd in me. I'm like walking around being like, what's the fire code? You know, but it just, it kind of freaks me out a little bit, but it's also very fun.
Yeah, no, I definitely agree. I think about that too. Like, I remember I thought about that when I was down there as well. And then I was like, I was politely advised to not worry about it. I was like, that's probably good advice. It was like, what am I going to do? Like, start handing out flyers. You know what I mean? Like, in case of emergency.
No, totally. It's such a, actually everybody is handing out flyers there, so you would have been the one person handing out flyers that wasn't like, totally, come see my show. It would be like, all like, here's the fire exits, and like,
oh my God.
Or actually maybe we're onto something. Maybe this is good marketing, you know, like one side of the flyer is come see my show, on the other side of the flyer is like, here's the closest fire
exactly
exit.
Or it's like like nearest bathrooms, map to the nearest bathrooms, or like, you know, providing a service.
Oh, totally. That's actually such a good idea, because I find at Folk Alliance, because I've gone there as an artist, I've gone there also to volunteer for other like folk organizations, and that is one thing that so many people are like, can I use the washroom in this hotel room? And some showcase rooms don't let you use the washroom. So I think that would be like a really helpful piece of information that people would be grateful for. And like, there's honestly, like, there's so many artists at Folk Alliance, like so many amazing artists, like in every single room. It's like, how do you get anybody to pay attention? I've thought of that too. I'm like, what if I handed out recipe cards or something, you know, like, I don't know. And someone at least would take home the flyer, but I don't know. I think we're onto something here, Forrest. I think we're onto something. When we're able to go back to Folk Alliance, we're going to research those hotels.
Yeah, exactly. We're going to have that place mapped out, know where everything is, right? Here's your washrooms. Here's your smoking spot. Here's the emergency exit.
Totally.
And, you know, we got this. Also, come check out my showcase.
Totally. And just like the thing too, that's funny about Folk Alliance is not only are all the showcases happening in these hotel rooms, which are amazing and magical. I'm not trying to sound negative and like be like, there's something I miss that so much. I miss being cramped. I miss being shoulder to shoulder with strangers and all having that experience together, you know, those intimate showcases and house shows. Oh, I miss house shows so much. I miss the, you know, there's something to be said about like, you know, the soft cedar theaters. We're all grateful to play them, you know, they're amazing experiences, but like those DIY sweaty little shows where you're all cramped and like maybe crisscross applesauce on the floor or whatever, you know, I miss those shows so much. But oh, I lost my train of thought. I was talking about Folk Alliance. Sorry. Oh goodness. And I'm not gonna edit any of this out. I'm leaving all this, the awkward losing my train of thoughts into this, because you know what,
real.
This is real, folks.
This is just humans being human.
Yeah, I really did lose that train of thought. Folk Alliance is great. What I was going to say is not only do we have, you have a bunch of people in a hotel room, you also have like so many upright basses, like just like the largest instrument, you know, just everywhere.
Yeah.
And something to be said, like there's different, obviously it's a hotel, there's different floors, the elevator, it takes forever to go through. So you've all these people in the staircases, going up with like their upright basses. It's really something else,
and it's like a lot of times, because the elevators are so packed, these folks are taking those upright basses like through the stairwells. And one person at Folk Alliance this year, they were moving a harp, like a full size harp, from like stair to stair, like from like floor to floor through the stairwells. And I seen this person like so many times, and every time this person was moving their harp, there was a lineup going up like two or three floors of the stair. As a musician, or like, so it's like, we all know how fragile and how expensive a harp is. So nobody's trying to push past this person, but at the same time, we got to get to showcases. Right. You know what I mean? We're like trying to get on the way, but everyone's just like, stop, let the harp go, you know?
Oh my goodness. That is so funny. And those were the days, you know, those were the days where we could just be, you know, cramped in lineups behind a harp.
Not right now.
But I look forward to the day when we can all be in a stairwell with a harp again and upright basses everywhere. Oh, I miss that. I miss that. The stuff that annoyed me the most, I miss the most right now. Do you know what I mean? Like being uncomfortable at a show or like being like too close to strangers or something. Like, I'm like, oh man, I would love that right now. I would just love to, you know what? I would just love if someone would spill their beer on me or, you know, like I miss that. I miss that so much. So looking back at your touring, at the touring that you've done, and then when we are able to tour again, and you know, I really hope that we have festival season in 2022. Like that's like, as far as festivals go, I'm really hoping that,
me too.
You know, like, cause 2021, it's too close. It's not going to make sense yet. Like the big festivals, like I think what we can really hope for is, you know, I guess I'm putting a bit of a timestamp on this conversation with saying that, but like, what I really hope in, you know, 2021 is that to get more like of the drive-in bookings, and, you know, different kind of outdoor shows. But as far as like the actual, like the Gateways, mm-hmm. the Regina Folk mm-hmm. Fest, all those things, you know, I really have my fingers crossed for 2022. So when we're back out on the road, like, what do you, is there anything new that you plan on applying to your, to the way that you tour?
Yeah, yeah, absolutely. one of the biggest things, and it really is, it's like, it's something that I have to do for myself, and sort of like understanding in a way where it's like, you know, if I'm the one that's, you know, if we're going out on a North Sound tour and if we have someone that's with us, cause I don't have like a band, right? Like I hire people to go out on the road with me. And the only like consistent members are me and Nevada. So I hire people a lot of times, or get my friends to come or whatever. I do have like certain go-to guys every time. But so one of the big challenges that I faced the last couple of tours, was, being sober on the road is really difficult. You know, and it's even more difficult when I'm in a position, and it's like, you know, I've been in this position before where it's like, I sort of, you know, it's a tour that I planned. It's a tour that I organized. It's a tour that I'm sort of, you know, in a sense, like the captain of, in a way, like not like the boss or anything, but like I, you know, it's like, totally. I'm like the go-to person. I set the stuff up, you know, I'm taking on a lot of responsibility. And then to sort of be in a position where, you know, there's a lot of partying and a lot of drinking and it's negatively like affecting me, that sort of didn't sit right with me the past couple times that I went out on the road. So one of the things that I'm going to be doing moving forward is my tours are going to be, they're going to be dry. They have to be, you know, I can't be in that position. And I recognize that, you know, it's not like, I do recognize that might be something that limits people that I take out on the road, or whatever. But I mean, at the end of the day, it's also like, it's kind of difficult to be out there on the road pushing the messages that I'm pushing and talking about the things that I'm talking about and singing about it. And then having like my whole band just like, you know, getting phased after the show, you know, like it doesn't match up.
Right.
And so that's like something that I need to be really mindful of going out on the road again after, is that, yeah, in order for people to come out on the road with us and to be a part of the tour, like in any capacity, they have to be dry. Yeah.
I totally respect that. I totally get that. And I think a lot of folks are going to understand that, you know, like I can think of a lot of musicians in my circle that would totally, that would respect that. And I totally, sorry, I'm saying totally a lot, but I really respect you drawing that boundary. And I think it makes a lot of sense. Like, you know, there's, yeah, like I have a pretty strict no diet talk policy in my circle. And I think you just have to draw those boundaries. And That totally makes sense. And I really respect that. I do like to, you know, just full disclaimer to the listener here, something I do like to ask folks before I have this conversation is, because this podcast is called Pep and Ched, and I do love tour snacks.
Yeah.
Like I love snacks, and a big part of my little bit of my history for the listener that they may not know, like I do struggle with an eating disorder mainly in my teens, but it's something that I have to live with. But so I love celebrating food. I think maybe because I don't know, and it maybe comes from a place of that, like of acceptance and just like rebuilding my relationship with food. So I love snacking. And I love traveling. There's just like certain snacks that just sort of like, this is touring. And so I like to ask people before I talk to them what their snacks are. And like, let me tell you, Forrest, I'm a little bit, I'm curious. Are you being honest with this answer?
Yes.
What is your favorite touring snack?
I'm 100% snack? Being honest. It's Pep and Cheds.
Woo, woo, woo. We gotta edit in some sound effects, but maybe we won't, and it will just be woo, 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 just me doing that with my voice. I love Pep and Ched, and you know, I don't know for sure if we're gonna get some free product because we got their permission to use this name.
Oh, sick.
Because I just think, yeah, if we do get some free product, some coupons or something, trust me, my friend, you are going to get some, because I don't know if anybody I've had on this podcast so far appreciates Pep and Ched as much as you and
that's a real shame. They are the best road snack. I don't care what anybody says. Are you, what's your type?
I'll go with the original. I'll go with the there's also like that, I don't mind that that turkey one too. That I'll also mess with, but I think what I love about Pep and Ched is that I just feel like they are appropriate any time of the day. Like there was, I think where I really bonded and my relationship with Pep and Ched really solidified was when I was touring in the north, and I think we were leaving maybe it was Fort Smith or I can't remember which community it was, but we made a convenience store stop before we went on the road, and you know, there's no at the community we were in, there was no Tim Hortons or anything, and also I was on the road already for weeks, so any of these, you know, maybe granola bars I had stashed away, like they're gone. I did not replenish that stash. It's hard to keep snacks on the road. It is and so I went to this gas station. I needed something for breakfast, and I was like, you know what, this is gonna feel like a breakfast. This is pretty good. And I just went for that. And so having Pep and Ched for breakfast and it being satisfying with a coffee or, you know, late night.
No.
Nothing wrong with that. Nothing wrong with that. Any time of day you can Pep and Ched. This does feel like an ad now. This feels like, I hope they give us money. I want product and money now.
Honestly,
at this point.
Yeah. So I need to share something with you. Because I really appreciate you talking about your experience was with an eating disorder. Because that's also, you know, that's also a part of my struggle and a part of my story as well. And it's something that I deal with a lot around diet. And I appreciate the no diet talk with your bandmates and stuff on the road. I appreciate that a lot because it's like really helpful. But okay, so I seen you were speaking at the Very Prairie Music Summit. You were speaking,
right,
and you were on a panel with my friend Jade Harper from Manitoba Music.
She is amazing. I just got to meet her that one time, but like I really loved everything she had to say, and just like, yeah, her energy. She just seems like
she is incredible. So the topic of this conversation, I don't know if you remember, was around self-care. And you shared that story about how self-care doesn't necessarily mean what the what the, it doesn't have to mean like what the, you know, the buzz around it is, like, you know, self-care is, you know, eating healthy, and health, self-care is, you know, working out, and self-care, you know, it's like not all that sort of stuff. It's like self-care for you at one time meant waking up and eating, eating a Pep and Ched for breakfast. And
yeah. Yeah.
And I wanted to tell you this, that when I was at that and I was listening to you share about that, that did so much for me.
Oh,
it really did. It helped me redefine what self-care was. And it helped me be okay with, like, it helped me start moving towards being okay with food and with diet and with eating, because yeah, like that's a really big struggle for me is having an eating disorder. And so you sharing that, it did so much for me. And I just wanted to tell you that.
I thank you so much for saying that. And that means so much to me. I will admit, after leaving that panel, even though, you know, earlier in this conversation, we talked about like, leaving enough for yourself, like share, being open and sharing on stage. But always saving a bit for yourself. And so you still feel like yourself. And that was a situation where afterwards I felt like, oh, I gave a bit more than I think I was ready to, you know, like that was the first time I talked openly about having an eating disorder. And I kind of was wondering why I was on that panel, to be honest with you. Like, I'm not a professional in any way, like, you know, besides like being a songwriter, but like, I was like, why am I here? Like and then I was just like, well, I'm going to talk about this because I'm very passionate about this. I hate the diet industry.
Yeah.
Hate. And we're seeing it. We're seeing so many of these brands, I'm not going to even speak their names on this, but trying to market themselves more as you know, being more, you know, body positive. And it's just baloney. Mm-hmm. It's marketing. It's just awful. So I really the idea of healthy eating, what does that actually mean? And for me, it means avoiding that shame spiral. Because like being able to practice intuitive eating, actually, like being like, you know, if I'm going to, if I want to have cake, have my cake. And then, I don't know, it's just, I could talk about this forever. I'm just like, thank you for saying that, because I did feel very vulnerable after that workshop. And I really appreciate you saying that. And now I feel like I'm better equipped to have those conversations and like to talk more openly about that. But that was like the first time, you know, like that was my first time talking about that. And and you know, it's been a bit difficult too, actually, during this lockdown, to hear people or to see people talk about like the quarantine 15 or whatever, you know, like and to talk about their bodies changing during this in like a negative way. And it's like it's just when we're all just trying to stay home for the sake of our health and the health of others in the community, and yet we're going to talk about our bodies changing in such a negative way when we're, you know, it really shows that how many conversations around weight aren't about health at all, actually.
Absolutely.
You know what I mean? But anyways, I really appreciate you saying that, Forrest. Thank you. Sorry, you didn't know you were opening a can of worms, maybe. I'm just rambling on about this. But I just, you know, if there's any listeners out there if there's anybody listening to this, I just encourage folks to really think about, like, what does healthy eating mean to them, you know? And I hate the term clean eating. What baloney that is.
Yeah.
I want to say a harsher word, but I can't swear.
I like
podcast.
Baloney. That's a good one.
So I don't like
baloney, malarkey.
Yeah, clean eating, what malarkey is that? Actually, this activist I love to follow on social media, I remember they were in the shower eating cookies and saying, this is clean eating. Like, it was like Oreos or something in the shower. Like, this is clean eating. I'm like, yeah, very good.
That's amazing.
Very good.
I love that.
Yeah. So we talked about how snacks, like, I'm not a big advocate for coolers in the vehicle. like to keep snacks fresh, because I feel like it's, unless you have somebody designated to watch after the cooler, or maybe you are better at multitasking than I am and can actually like maintain a cooler. But I feel like I've had so many coolers turn into like composting units during a tour. So I'm always curious though too, like, I remember, I think I was in Europe once with, a couple of
there
friends.
There it is. There's that, humble brag again.
Yeah. And we thought, what is this smell? And it was definitely like a nectarine or something that had just gone rogue. You know, it was just rolled away and then decided to rot away. What is the, you know, we have to wrap up here. What is, and we'll leave on this note. Is this a good note to leave on? I don't know. What is like the strangest thing that you've had fermenting or rotting or whatever in the tour vehicle?
Empty beer cans.
Ooh.
Yeah, empty beer cans.
And they got smelly, or did they get moldy so you couldn't even recycle them? Because I've had recycling go on moldy. I always wash my cans.
They definitely
now.
Like, you know, they just start to smell really bad and get on the floor and like leave, you know, the little drops get on the carpet or whatever, and it's just really, really unpleasant. And then it gets warm, and then the vehicle's hot and smelly, and then whatever else, you know. Also too, like, depending on how many people are on the tour, there's a lot of body smells going on as well in the vehicle, mixing with everything. Yeah. So I mean, touring can be a very like unpleasant, smelly venture.
You know, one time I was touring with coffee in the vehicle, and I feel like I've talked about this already on this podcast, but I had coffee as merch, and that was the best the tour vehicle has ever smelled.
Oh, that's so, I love that idea.
It was short-lived. It was just like, I had a roommate at the time that was roasting coffee randomly. So we put some labels on it, and it was my merch for a little bit. Like, I was like, yeah, her salesperson for her coffee beans. And it was so great for me too, 'cause I had something to talk about, you know, but most importantly, it kept the tour vehicle smelling, very good, which is rare to say. Did you ever think you'd hear those words?
Doesn't sound real to me. Sounds made up.
I know. Well, this is a podcast of just lying. I've never toured in Europe, and I never flew across the pond for a 30-minute set. Actually, I kind of wish I could say I never flew across the pond for a 30-minute set, because we want to talk about sustainability. It's not that.
Yeah. Well, but I don't know. Depending on like how you're flying, I guess, would be a big thing. Like, if you were doing that and you had like, you know, nice fancy private jet and all your amenities were met and, you know, you could sleep on the way, then that's kind of sustainable.
Okay, I know what you're thinking. Megan, that's not the end of a conversation. Megan, you just can't end the podcast there. Megan, you can't end the radio show there, whichever way you're listening. Megan, what are you doing? Full disclosure, folks, when Forrest and I sat down, it was towards the end of 2020. This was yet to be a radio show, and now I've got a format and structure to adhere to, and we talked for almost 2 hours. I loved this conversation so much, but I'm sorry, that's where I have to end it. Forrest Eagle Speaker, thank you so much for being such a wonderful guest. I encourage all of you to go buy his music at thenorthsoundmusic.com. Get your pen, get your paper, thenorthsoundmusic.com. Okay, you've been listening to Pep and Ched with me, Megan Nash, and it's a co-production with the Creative City Center in Regina, Saskatchewan. I don't want to go over the time, so do you want to see how fast I can thank everybody? Here we go. The Creative City Center is supported by the Canada Council for the Arts, the Saskatchewan Arts Board, now known as SaskArts, the City of Regina, and Creative Saskatchewan, and this podcast is made possible because of the ongoing support of these agencies in spite of everything that's going on in this pandemic-fatigued world we live in. Special thank you to the Garys for being so awesome and letting me use their music. Woo! The Creative City Center is a community-based arts center that used to present around 200 events a year and gave a lot of emerging artists a home as they were starting out. Now they are a home for a lot of online productions, so check out creativecitycenter.ca to see what else they are cooking up besides all this Pep and Ched business with me. Support live folks. No. Support live folks. Well, yeah. And also support live music, folks, no matter what form it's served up in. Bye-bye.